제리라사탄 러미게 등하다마데 장도 장라 가리 신데 제베 진제 아미 마리 세리 탑 모마인 발란제는 바데 카디 탑 덴비타 란제는 바데 니엔고 선 그노 그제제 좀바데 케네 템시
Okay, it set out the right motivation to participate in this discourse in order to have not just for oneself, but more important for vast number of sentient beings.
Oh yeah, that being the theory learning the shape in common teaching and sit on the torch and be longer and passive.
So, the path that we're dealing with is Mahayana practice or Mahayana path.
That's it, Lamji Rimba, yes, Lamji Rimba, and the Lamji Tarasi and the Kata. Koada Nyesungi, Lam and Re, Lamji Mahayana, Koada Nyesungi, Toshi, Lam.
So, tonight, as you know, the teaching is called Lam Rim, Stages of the Path. And stages of path could refer to any situation. Stages of the path downwards, right to the three lower ends, or stages of the path to keep roaming in samsara, mundane existence. As opposed to that, the stages of the path we're talking about here is a path out of samsara or mundane suffering. So, there are the stages of the path lead us upwards to two things, to liberation, nirvana, or secondly, to the stage of omniscience or the stage of Buddhahood. If one's aim is to secure one's own freedom and liberation, nirvana, so that only one step could be permanently in nirvana, then you follow or one follows the path of individual emancipation or the practice of middling capacity. If one's intention is to make it to the highest stage of Buddhahood, whereby one is able to help use one's limitless spiritual resources of compassion and wisdom to help others, then you follow Mahayana path, the path of the great vehicle. To undertake a practice called the Mahayana or the Great Vehicle Practice, you do it with a starting point of bodhicitta. You know, bodhicitta, have you heard of this? Are you completely new?
Yes,
I'm
completely new.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Bodhicitta means intention to be a Buddha, to attain Buddha for the sake of all beings. So that is the starting point of Mahayana. Mahayana's great Yana means vehicle, great vehicle practice, or universal emancipation vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before, as you know, we meditate or you try to cultivate bodhicitta, the intent to be Buddha for the sake of all beings, you have to develop sense of equanimity in order to regard, treat all beings the same without any prejudices for or against. The first step is called equanimity.
The second step
is to realize that all living beings have been once mother. Okay, you do this through reflecting on the law of cause and effect. Once you gain incontrovertible conviction in the operation of the law of cause and effect, then you need to see all living beings as one's mother. Is it okay with you?
Yes.
The
third step that leads to ultimate, or that leads to bodhicitta, the intent to the Buddha. The third step is remembrance of kindnesses of mothers, remembrance of kindnesses of all sentient beings when they have been our mothers. You use or you take the kindnesses of your own mother of this lifetime, who is a sentient being, you are a sentient being, and how your mother, in most cases, our mothers have unconditional love, and how she cared for you. The Buddha says all beings have done the same thing across that time. The fourth step is special remembrance of kindnesses of sentient beings. Not only have all beings across lifetime have been kind to us as parents, especially as mothers. Even other times when they are not being your mother, then Buddha says still they're extremely kind to one. Particularly in this, initially you need to single out your enemy and then reason and think about how your enemy in fact is really helpful and therefore very kind to one in terms of the enemy making you think, look within and then seek for spiritual development. So enemy is very kind. Okay?
Rangi machiwi neka, ma machiwi neka, tanchi li chinchin yin, that tila ni transzo gangu kuri hezo.
The fifth step is then learning to repay kindnesses of sentient beings to some extent.
Ta transzo, kandi tu transzo urus na, tata rani yini kata. 아직 George 좀 밀리러 보지 또
So how should we repay kindnesses of sentient beings? There can be many forms, there are many ways of repaying kindnesses. And we are in a position to do something to bring a change for the better in sentient beings or for sentient beings. Why? We have got this life of a human species and the life of a Homo sapiens. Of the life of a human species, unlike the life of animals, is powerfully placed, ideally placed for spiritual development. This life has so dynamic in being able to achieve anything. Therefore, you are in an ideal position to do something for them. Or what about if you repay sentient beings' kindness through material gifts? That will go only so far. And that will not be the final, ultimate solution to remove their suffering. And therefore, Buddha says, the best way for one, a spiritually awakened person, to repair kindnesses of sentient beings, is to aim at being a Buddha yourself, because once you become a Buddha, you have got all the you are yourself completely beyond any sense of vulnerability, suffering, causes of suffering, and you have all the know-how, and you are able to reach out to a sentient being almost magically, spontaneously. So the best way to repay kindnesses of sentient beings, according to Buddha, is to help them grow spiritually. For that, you need to know what you practice, what you give, what you teach. For that, you have to then learn, meditate, and everything you do for your own spiritual development as a means to reach out will be the way to repay kindnesses.
अने ची शेषी बामा से ची चेवे नेका ला छे बा तिली रे दे रे तिली नेका तेला अने रांगे जेंबे तेंजे के तें अने चंग जोगु रे कहीं से ना रांगे जेंबे तेंजे के तंदा अने बेने तंडो ला सोबत तिली ना छाता वाले छेवा पेवा ला सोबत थाने रोगु तोशी लाम शिवी तिली के पे कुबो शिवी छादे तो सो ला अने रांगे चंचन शिवो इंसा तेतो अने चंग दे जोगु इंसा तेन सो अते अने ताशी यशु तेंशिंग ए तांजी मातो में ता तांजी कुंभ मातो ना ये तो तेंजु में तेंजी तांजी कुंभ तो गुड यंबे ने गुगु दूर सांबा ते गांगु गुरे.
So at the moment, you are fully aware of the need to find a final solution to the trouble. Physical, psychological trouble and distresses one and all other beings undergo, and not only that, one is, as I said before, due to the fact that we have got this wonderful, precious human life, which we can't take for granted any longer. So we are in an ideal position, we need to capitalize on what we have got now, and then maximize the potential of this life in order to help others. Because let alone animals, creatures, insects, a vast, number of, or even humans, don't know what they have got, and therefore they are not able to use the full are used their life fully. For the, in the case of the animals, their spiritual is so disadvantaged. They may be clever in various things they do. Spiritually, they are utterly disadvantaged because they are locked in a life form which is not able to do prostration, go around, say mantra, think higher things, think liberating thought, to the point that if you need somebody what to say, if you say this mantra, I will grant you your Buddhahood there on the spot. They are not able to do that. Such is so disadvantage is our things are our animals and all a great deal of our sentient beings. Therefore, as I said before, we are fortunate and we are somewhat spiritually awakened. We want to grow spiritually, and therefore we need to use this spiritual development as a way of helping other sentient beings.
Tupati, shanti jenye ka, dewa dham, dewa dheba, nyomba, dhimma mdheba, nyomba re. Tenje yinza, tenya kaji gen, tenje tonji ge ten, nami na jenza wa dhugri ta, nye che chita chita dhugi ya mi dhita, nara nara, tenji po tenza jenye dhigi dhugi nyombe, tenji ge pa, ya, go, something ge, tenji yinza, tutsu ge, tenji mayimba. Dawa jenye ka, dhimma chande, yinba chepa, dewa tonde chepa yinba yinza, ta jenye ki dhimma, dawa jenye ki ga, kaza dewa dhruva dha, dhruva chava dhe she nigen dhata rongi chava dhe dha yendo dhe tindhi she mene, rongi ki tindhi she nibi neka dhe ki dhe dha ta ti ghe rong dha, rongi la kaza rongi la dhe ne, ghe dhe chwe gire dha, rongi she gugu dhe kamba gongi dha jen nyamba gamba hasi dhe nye gare
So the next step is called seeing that self and others are exactly the same, are on the same footing. We call equalizing self with others. Why? In what way are self and others the same? One and others are same with regard to a very important thing, and that is in the innate longing. We innately long for happiness, joy, and comfort of body and mind. And we innately long for freedom, separation from anything, any distracting situation, psychological, physical distresses. Just as we innately long for happiness and avoid suffering, all other beings innately all other beings do the same. Innately they desire happiness, innately they desire freedom from problems and suffering, and we are the same. And here sometimes people may think, but do I really have to be, do I have to take upon myself to remove their suffering? Maybe I needn't, because there are many other people thinking the same thing. So leave it to other people. One may think like that, but how can you be sure that others are doing the same? Others are in the same position as you are. And as far as, while self and others have the same innate desire for peace and desire for freedom, yet the happiness and freedom of one person is just a matter of one person. Whereas happiness and freedom of all other sentient beings is immensely, numerically, more significant. And therefore, what affects The vast majority, majority has the priority over the well-being of a single individual, and therefore, as an awakened person, since we are in a position to help others, we need to capitalize on what we have got, and then with a sense, out of a sense of universal responsibility, do whatever we can to grow spiritually as fast as possible to reach the stage of a Buddhahood so that one can be of benefit to others. So, as one works on thinking along that positive, uplifting thoughts to dedicate oneself, one's ability, one's potential for maximum spiritual growth in order to help others, then, unfortunately, it's self-centeredness we call self-cherishing thought, self-love, self-centeredness, rears its ugly head interruptiously and then stops you, holds you back from doing what you thought would be nice to do. And therefore, since self-cherishing thought, under the guise of caring for self, ultimately brings one down and ruins temporal and ultimate goals and happiness, we need to spend a great deal of time reflecting on the many evils or sapping evils of self-cherishing thought, and therefore then develop strong desire to turn away from self-cherishing thought.
爸爸,眼睛自己也在,眼睛自己也在,不怎么办呢,爸爸。
Next step is reflecting on the many virtues. Virtues of developing the sense of caring for others. Other caring sense, other caring thought. So we need to spend time thinking about these from many angles.
That is Jevade, Govade, Govade, Daji Jibi, Tomba Nizamba, that Jini, Ronda Jini, Govade, Jevlo Guru.
所以我感觉这个老师呢，眼睛睁开，看一眼，让你看到呢，让你别把看的眼睛把这个呢，这是呢，当眼睛了，懂吧？这就用过了。So once one has realized the many evils of self-centeredness, and once one has realized enlightening virtues of caring for others, sense of caring for others, then we need to tread the truth. We need to tread off the truth, tread one for the other. And therefore, we need the ninth step is called exchanging self-centeredness for other caring attitude. Which means, here exchanging, we can't change your mind for others' mind, vice versa. You can't change your body for others' body, vice versa. So what does it mean, exchanging self for others? Exchanging self for others means exchanging selfishness for sense of caring for others. So scriptures or the teachings state that this is crucial to developing our aim, which is the bodhicitta, that intense universe of altruism to be a Buddha for the sake of other beings. So if one can't exchange selfishness, self-centeredness for caring for others, then we cannot develop bodhicitta. Here what we need to be able to do is become utterly selfless, such that one never seeks one's own happiness. One completely sacrifices one's own concern, one's own happiness, one's own prosperity, whatever. Instead, one is utterly devoted to seeking or dedicated, one dedicates oneself to seeking others' happiness. And in short, exchanging self for others means one forgets one's own happiness and one is prepared to take on suffering of a body, mind, diseases of others upon oneself. When you try to do that, your self-centeredness would resist being ignored and taking upon others' problems, suffering, problems of our health, the body, psychology, or on this. However, you give no chance to self-centeredness. You willingly take upon others' suffering, others' problem upon oneself, and do whatever one can to remove these from others. Unless one is prepared to let go of one's own happiness and to take upon, receive, extract, take upon oneself the suffering of others, you'll never be able to So, we can take a leaf from Buddha's own life. Before Buddha became a Buddha, he was a young, handsome prince who had the world at his feet. He was a prince of a very powerful king of that era, of that time, that place. Therefore, he had all the material resources. He had everything that anybody could ever want, materially affluent. He had renown, he had the fame, and he had all the trappings of a rich royal person. In spite of having all these, that would have been, and that even today, the highest of thing people would seek and want, he he threw them to the wind. He just completely rejected all these, and he saw a spiritual beggarly life and meditated for 6 years. So while he had all these, without any sense of attachment to other selfishness to these, he let go of his own happiness and suffered through meditation to develop qualities to help others later.
And then Quran be Javed Javed Chief Japanese and you saw in a you dig in it. Some missing of this, a pendulum on shadow, you did the tendo, you did Quran in the same pendulum. Then did you get it? And to me, you will mark. If it is but be done it, but then just punchy with tender, but Gawashin is take the car on it, punchy to come with Tony, singing it came to. Singing it came to, but it is on Lonnie Duna Jaha.
On the other hand, if the Buddha had not left his kingdom, his palace, his royal comfort, the luxury of a palace, he would have succeeded to the throne. He would have climbed the throne at best, he would have become a good religious king, and he would have ruled the subjects of his own kingdom. Apart from, doing what he could to a limited number of sentient beings, or they could be into millions, still in the face of the vast number of sentient beings, 2 million is just a minuscule number. So all that he would have succeeded is to care for a limited number of sentient beings. And however, what he did do was he sought a greater good of a greater number of sentient beings. And as I said before, He let go of comfort, name, recognition, and suffered, living a beggarly spiritual life, meditated for 6 years, and then finally, he awakened. His mind became free of all constraints that blocked him from being able to reach out, so he became a great success. And not only was he a great success to the people of his time, to his contemporaries, but his success has followed through the generations. Even after 2,050 years on, his success still flows. And such a success to a vast number of sentient beings in the Buddhist world would not have happened had you got attached to royal trappings out of a self-cherishing attitude, a love of comfort of one's own good. So, as he intended, he left Paris to achieve a very important goal. He based hardships in the practice for that goal, and when he attained his goal of being awakened fully from the slumber of ignorance and delusion, then his compassion took hold of his mind. A universal compassion took hold of his mind. He was beside himself, ruled by compassion, was beside himself as it were. And he then revealed, saying that, I followed this course of action as a spiritual practice, and it has awakened my mind. And if you are interested in being awakened and being free permanently from suffering of body and mind, then this is the way to go about. So he showed a system of a body of spiritual practice called the stages of the path.
이제 인사 너무 제발 내려서는 뒤나 지대 너무 되지 만약에 둘이 너무 말이 갔다 다음 뭔가 나기 되게 제가 통화 이렇게 돼서 내가 신기로 무슨 거와 인사 뒤나 지대 너무 되지 다 랑기 살이 라면서 비틀이 되지 왕기 이나 되지 이제 너무 만약에 되지 누나가 되지 말 다다 랑기 마치 신제 상제 디바 디두 누나 삼마데 말이 다다 다가 뭔가 다다 라네 텐티 티 말이 디디 바샤도 제가 다가 말 맞지 다 신제 되다 팀민이 신제 제 소마니 로크 데베 라야 게 데도 뎀바 신제 라로 치소 아 와서 제비 모니 텐디션 바 안다 다 감고 후야레
So, as historical Buddha literally demonstrated through his own life, the process of extending self for others, and we as his follower need to emulate his way of life with his way of attitude or thinking. And to this point, regarding this all-important practice of exchanging self for others is a five-line stanza in the Guru Puja.
Read it out, okay?
It is here. Stanza 95 says, and thus, O venerable compassionate Guru, receive your blessings, that all karmic debts, obstacles, and suffering of mother sensual beings may without exception ripen upon us right now, and that we may give our happiness and virtue to others, and thereby invest all beings in bliss. As stanza 95 on page 37, the translation says, one calls upon one's guru to energize one and to have the will to exchange self for others, such that one prays, one asks the guru to help you take upon anything unpleasant in terms of karma and suffering mother sentient beings are undergoing, and take these upon oneself right this very moment, and in return one gives whatever spiritual material goodness one has to others, to them, and therefore may I be blessed to help to place all beings in the stage of enduring peace.
Thing is that then the six pinodio that the young gamba thing is that in the same tomogone gamba, the ancient to me when it's gamba tea, 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 tea rāñi cīndi lēkō kañcī kō, māna cīndi yedē kañcī, tēcī dōjī cīndi nōrē, yāna nīpa shēpa shīnjī rōs tuyā.
Ādhō.
O tīdī tītā, kākā rōngi tī sāshī sāngā tī nō yōrē.
So, if you go back one stanza, okay, stanza 94, this stanza encapsulates the practice of seeing and many crippling drawbacks of our self-centeredness and uplifting force of our other cherishing being or cherishing other beings. It says here, since cherishing ourselves is the doorway to all tolerance, while cherishing our mother is the foundation of all that is good, we seek your blessing to make our core practice, the yoga meaning practice, the yoga of exchange of self for others.
Yeah. Seva shiye de, hajang ke chenpo chogi yore. Jien ki dunga kaze se towa ina, jien pendo zho. Jien kaze pendo se towa ina, kaan pendo se si ki me te rani le tsu rani pendo nge she da. Tanda roni ki ta dewa dhubi na, tili che go re su go. Jien la pa kaze pendo zhige senje maa ina, taga zhige roni le tsu dewa te nge, dewa dhu nge, ani pendo nge, a de maa ingo re. De yin ta, dewa tili che sonu sa na ya, da da jien ni yore.
So, working selflessly for the vast majority of all sentient beings who are not unrelated, but rather who are ultimately intimately related to one, related in terms of the role they have played as mother, in terms of witting and unwitting contributions they make for your happiness, materially, spiritually. And so, you really have no option but to be moved by a sense of indebtedness, spontaneous sense of indebtedness, to do something for a sentient being. And the best way to do is to repay their kindness, and the best way to repay their kindness is to remove their suffering or help them overcome the suffering. If you help them overcome the suffering, that is the highest form of benefiting, helping them. And the more you help, a way of removing the suffering, naturally and unintentionally, the more will be out there who would see one in the much positive light.
Selfishly
speaking true, although it shouldn't be the way, that is the best way. Selfishly speaking true, if you want to be happy, the best way to be happy is to be kind to others, so that others like one in return, and you have a warm relationship. For example, if you have a dog, and for some reason, you have to live with that. So, you have no option but to live with that. So, the best way to live well with the dog is by giving it food, caring for it. And however, if you try to control the dog, make it love you by hitting it with a stick, stone. If you beat it up, being cruel to it, it will become worse in terms of barking and reacting negatively. On the other hand, if you really care for it in terms of looking after it, feeding it, and giving it good shelter, and then the dog would become happy, and out of happiness, the dog will react, interact amicably with one. Yes, I told that the Dalai Lama tells a personal anecdote when he was back in Tibet as living in the Potala Palace. His transitment that just a personal assistant had a parrot, and each morning the parrot, his assistant, would crack open a walnut and give it to the parrot. And just before it's time for the parrot to be fed, the parrot would wait patiently and then when he comes out, it would just behave in such a way and showing all its love to the person assistant. Behave and walk and whatever it does. And then His Holiness, the young Dalai Lama, got slightly envious that the parrot was showed so much kindness to his assistant. And he tried to win the parrot's favor, kindness, by giving up, walnut. But it didn't receive kindly. The parrot didn't receive the walnut cat. And in a way, it may have even bitten in his hand. So the young Dalai Lama got slightly annoyed and took up a stick and hit it on the beak. And from then on, each time it would see the young Dalai Lama, it would just squawk so irritatedly and avoid him. So that's around humans or animals. Anyone, anything that lives on food and water needs these for survival as well as for comfort, and who enjoys these, likes receiving these from someone who cares for them, and therefore they react positively to such a person. The dogs in Tibet, a lot of people, especially monks, they kept big dogs and guard dogs. During the day, they would sleep, eat and sleep at night. They will never sleep, they are just always on patrol and walking around the house and keeping the eye on the property and keeping thieves and burglars at bay.
For example, domesticated
animals like the cow, who is or cows who are looked after by someone who barely catches them on regular basis, and when they milk, they're happy to give milk. And if someone who is a stranger or even someone who has been somewhat unkind, you know, hitting sticks and so on, if somehow such a person were to milk them, the cows would refuse to give any milk. So they know how to show their feelings.
So humans, they are more sort of a developed person.
So in a way, they should be more able to return the favor of kind people and kind sources. And anyway, as a part of a Mahayana practice, if one claims oneself to be Mahayanist, a practitioner of a universal vehicle, universal liberation or emancipation vehicle, then it is imperative, it is an inescapable part of the practice to become more selfless, more and more selfless, and ultimately become utterly selfless, so that one thinks of nothing but others' happiness. One does nothing but achieve others' happiness. And so doing things for others is good in its own right, regardless of temporal and ultimate outcome for one. So when you think of dual benefit for certain others, then it becomes even more apparent that others are vast, and the number of others is immense and big. The number of one is just one. And therefore, from that point of view too, it becomes apparent to care for what affects the vast majority. And seeking a clever way of achieving one's good, it might sound like an ulterior motive, is to be really good to other people. And it is like a natural thinking, is to be good to others so that one is placed in a better position in terms of getting on better with other people and being loved and liked by others. So, on this note, we will stop here tonight. Is it okay?
Mm-hmm.